Lord, we do give you thanks for your word, and we ask this morning that it may become very real to us. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, Amen. Well, in a passage of 9 verses, when you get the word worrying or worry 4 times, it's not exactly hard to work out what this morning's sermon is going to be about, is it? Yes, it's about worry. And worry and stress are major issues in today's society, aren't they? What do we worry about? Well, I think the simple answer is lots. We only have to think about the big issue of the week. It's Brexit, isn't it? Lots of worry and concern about that. We worry about the children. How are they doing? What can I provide for them? What about their futures? We worry about pensions, maybe. Health. How can I stay healthy? How often must I go to the gym? What should I eat? What should I not eat? And as for families, they're a huge source of worry, aren't they? How they're doing, what's going on here, what about Uncle Fred not getting on with Auntie Sylvia, and the list go on and on and on. And we in our own church here have maybe concerns and worry about the future. So, the list is endless. There are a whole myriad of things that we can and do worry about. So when we come to our passage today and see that Jesus is telling us 4 times not to worry or be anxious, that can be a bit of a shock to us. It should be encouraging. It should be a relief. But one thing for sure, it will be a challenge for each one of us. Most definitely including me, for I also tend to be a bit of a worrier. So let's see what our passage is telling us today. So who is Jesus addressing this passage to? Notice in verse 22 there, it's to his disciples. And as we go through the passage, it's clear that Jesus wants them to be different. And, we think it's only us who live in stressful times, but they too were living in stressful times. Some of the causes may have been different. There was no National Health Service, so there was little treatment available for people when they became ill. They lived in an arid environment, so food supply could be severely affected by drought. And we read about that in the Old Testament, don't we? You just have to think about Joseph and his brothers and the drought that occurred in Israel then. And the culture of their day was highly religious. The Pharisees were incredibly influential, and they were telling people they had to obey a myriad of different rules. That too would cause stress and worry. Am I doing it right? Have I missed something? But the religion was only skin deep, and inside people there was greed. There was ambition, which itself led to yet more worry and stress. They were living in an occupied land. They were part of the Roman Empire. So they were constantly looking over their shoulders, as Roman rule could be brutal. Safety was a big issue. People had plenty to worry about. But Jesus is telling his disciples in this passage, I want you to be different. I do not want you to worry. In fact, he is going to tell them that worrying about such things is fundamentally incompatible with Christian faith. It's a thing which the pagans do. In other words, those people who do not accept God as their Father. They should be different, he's telling them. They should have faith. They should trust God. Our passage then starts with a therefore, doesn't it? Now this then automatically points us to what's been said previously. It's a consequence of an argument which has been developed. So we briefly need to consider what that is. Now I remember Tom last week talked to us about money and possessions and how we should be rich towards God, and the futility of simply wanting more and more. And we saw that it did the rich man no good to try and store his wealth, that his life was about to come to an end. Then to our verses, we see that Jesus says, don't worry about your life. And that's really the essence of the passage. So let's break it down into the two obvious questions. Why should we not worry? And how do we stop worrying? Firstly then, why should we not worry? Well, he gives us two basic reasons for not worrying. Worry is incompatible with common sense, and worry is incompatible with Christian faith. Now in verses 22 to 26 there, Jesus tells us it doesn't make sense to worry. What are we not to worry about? Well, verse 22 makes it clear. It's our life, it's what we eat, and it's what we wear. And it gives us a reason, for that in life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. So worry about food and clothing betrays a false view of human beings. It says that we are just bodies that need to be fed, watered, clothed and housed. And that human life is really only a physiological mechanism which needs to be protected, fueled and lubricated. To be exclusively concerned with food, drink and clothing could only be justified if physical survival were the be-all and end-all of existence, if we just lived to live. And this would downgrade us to the level of the animals, indeed that of the birds and the plants. But Jesus is clearly telling us here that we are much, much more than that. We are God's children. Remember our Father, he didn't create us just to exist. To think like that is unworthy. There is much, much more to life than that. Jesus then goes on to illustrate this point, but firstly by looking at the ravens and the wild flowers. It may have been that there were a flock of ravens nearby, and he'd be saying, look at those birds, look at those ravens. And in fact, ravens appear a number of times in the Old Testament. And specifically in Job and Psalms, we're told that God provides food for the ravens and their young. And he says to his disciples, look, they don't have a storeroom or a barn. And that refers us back to the rich young fool. And see, they are fed. And then he uses that lesser to greater argument. So if God does that for the ravens, then we should trust God to provide for us, because as Jesus states, we are much more valuable than them. Jesus then tells us that it's wrong to worry because it makes no sense. In verse 25 there. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Or as the footnote puts it, a cubit or 18 inches to his height. In other words, what does worrying achieve? Nothing. So there is no point in worrying. It doesn't make any sense. We then move on to see that worry is incompatible with faith. And in verse 27 there we read about the lilies of the field. And here we can imagine that he was pointing to plants which were growing in the vicinity. Around the Sea of Galilee, apparently, there were and still are large areas of untouched scrubland where wildflowers thrive. There are herbs, there are red and purple anemones, there are cyclamens, and the real star you can see behind me, this apparently is the Gilboa iris. But not only that, there are many, many more flowers. You can go today and visit the nature reserves, and that is what apparently Israel looks at the time of the wild flowers. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not surprising that he said even Solomon wasn't dressed as the fields of the wild flowers there. In this country, you only have to think about a wildflower meadow to see what Jesus was talking about. Again, he says if God does this, if he creates such blooms and grasses of such beauty, which are so ephemeral, you know, their flowering is so short, and then they're cut and used for fuel, hence that reference to fire. Then another one of those lesser to greater arguments is used. You who are his children, how much more will he make sure that you are clothed? Verse 30 tells us this is the preoccupation of the pagans, as I've said, those who don't acknowledge God as Father. That's how they behave. And has anything changed? I don't think so. Switch on the TV. We're bombarded with countless food shows and celebrity chefs telling us how to cook healthier, tasty, new, exciting dishes. And apparently, folks, it appears that if you want to be really trendy this month, you need to eat a vegan diet. If you go to the newsagents, you will see row upon row of fashion magazines. In fact, I was on the train coming home from London yesterday, and what did I see people reading? Lots and lots of these. They're all telling us what we should buy and how we should wear it. You know, today's society is truly obsessed, it's almost fixated with food, drink and clothes. And Jesus tells us that's how the pagans are, and that's how they truly are. We are called to be different. We know better. There's more to life. We're not to be worried and anxious about such things. We must trust God to provide. We must have faith in him. So this passage, quite simply and starkly, challenges our faith. Look at verse 28 there. O you of little faith. It's saying to us, do you really trust? Do you have the faith to be different from the rest of society? Because if we become anxious about them, we're demonstrating a lack of faith in our Father. We're not trusting him to provide for us. When we know what he has done for us, when we know that he sent his Son to die on a cross so that we could be reunited with our Heavenly Father, it then seems absurd that we should not trust him for our daily needs. As it says in our Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. He's already given us life. Not one of us chose to be born. He has provided us with a body which is in his likeness. He's done all that. Then why can't we trust him to take care of our lesser needs, our food and our clothing? He knows we need them, and he will provide. But just an aside, there are two common misconceptions about faith that we need to be aware of. Firstly, this passage is not saying that we should not plan for the future. All birds, including ravens, make provision for the future. They build nests, don't they, in the spring, round about now, in fact. They lay and incubate their eggs, they feed their young. Many migrate to warmer climates in the winter. And there are birds which actually store food. The shrike stores food on thorns. It gets insects and impales them on them. Not very nice, I know, but it does. So there's nothing to stop the Christian making plans for the future, or taking sensible steps for their own and their family's security. In fact, it says in Timothy 5, verse 8, Paul writes, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So here is actually that biblical justification for that life assurance policy. You know, those policies which provide for loved ones after we've departed this life. Bishop Ryle puts it this way, prudent provision for the future is right. Wearing, corroding, self-tormenting anxiety is wrong. Secondly, our passage is not saying to us that we don't have to work. We can't just sit at home and expect a Tesco delivery and a Marks and Spencer bag to land on the drive. Obviously we need to work. The birds, in this case ravens, they work hard to get their food. They're scavengers. They range far and wide looking for carrion. The flowers don't just simply appear, there are processes involved. The seeds are spread, the flowers grow through photosynthesis. Work happens. Again, it was Paul who said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. God provides, but we still have to cooperate. We have to work. That is how God provides for us, as well as the birds and the flowers. So we've seen that worry is incompatible with common sense, and we've seen that worry is incompatible with Christian faith. So the obvious next question is, how do we stop worrying? And the answer is to be found in verse 31 there. But seek his kingdom. Seek, or to seek first, as it says in Matthew's Gospel, is a verb, isn't it? It's an active word, it's a doing word. Seeking should be our aim. It's our primary goal, our ambition, our main priority. What are we to seek? Well, it's quite simple, says it's very straightforwardly there, doesn't it? His kingdom. This is God ruling over his people. This is knowing Christ as Saviour. This is Christ's rule in each of our hearts and minds. This is making sure that he truly is our King. This is trusting him for everything, for he himself has already given us everything of himself. His life on the cross for each one of us. This is making sure that he is Lord of our lives, so that our aim is to please and to serve him. How can I conduct myself rightly and appropriately in every single circumstance this week? That should be our obsession, our main concern. God will provide the rest. So then, how do we seek? Well, we do it by studying his word and praying each day, putting some time aside to do that. It doesn't matter when each person's different, but it's important that we do. Bible notes can be helpful. I ask you some of these explore notes, they're good, but there are many others which you may find useful. Seeking is also done through the home groups we have, when Bible passages are discussed, and when we explore what it might mean in our lives. Corinne's putting out a flyer for home groups today. Have a look at it and have a chat with her if you'd like to join one. Coming here on a Sunday to hear God's work proclaimed is part of the seeking process. And we're having a number of different preachers at the moment, which I'm certainly finding stimulating myself, so it's good if you can come along and listen to them. You know, if we do this, if we really seek, then it will mean that we will worry less and learn to trust. Our faith will be strengthened and we will live more complete lives. And that will be reflected in at work we'll be honest and hardworking in our dealings with those around us. We'll be more caring and supportive. And we should be developing relationships with those who do not know our Lord as Saviour, so that we can witness to them, invite them to events, talk to them about the gospel. We'll be speaking out against injustice. We will actively stand up for the gospel and God's word. So what does it then mean for us here in our church? Well, it means that in our church we should be trusting God for the future, especially in the midst of our current uncertainty. And yes, we should plan and make arrangements. We should have preaching programs in place. There should be house group programs in place. We should be planning for events. We should be managing our finances. But we should not be worrying or anxious about any of these things. You know, God will provide. We should get on with the work of the day, of making sure the gospel is proclaimed, of making sure the Bible is taught faithfully, of making sure that we pray, of making sure that we reach out into our local community, of making sure that we welcome newcomers warmly, making sure that we share the love of Christ with each other, making sure that we will look after the poor and the elderly. God will deal with the rest. We are not to be anxious. If you are anxious and if you do worry, then we are challenged this morning to do something about it. For it's unworthy, in fact it's a sin. Christ himself has told us that it's wrong. We are saying to our Father that we do not trust him to provide for us. What we are doing is demonstrating our lack of faith. And then we need to ask for forgiveness. We need to refocus our eyes away from the things of this world. And we need to fix our eyes on the kingdom of heaven. We need to realize what God has done for us. We need to thank him for his wonderful provision for each one of us. We need to truly know and believe that he is our Father in heaven. For once we really know that, once we truly understand that he is a loving Father who wants to provide for his children, once we put our trust in him, then truly our worries and anxieties will disappear. For we will fully appreciate that the future is in his hands. and he will deal with it. If you do not know Jesus as your Saviour, then I'm afraid you're going to experience a whole lifetime of worries and anxieties, and they will probably get worse with time. The only way to get rid of them is to submit to Christ as your Saviour, to trust your loving Heavenly Father to meet all your true needs. And if you want to know how to do that, get a word with either Mike or myself after the service. The message is quite clear. We have a loving Father in heaven. Trust him. Seek his kingdom. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are such a providing God. We thank you that you want to provide for us. We thank you that you take care of our futures. Forgive us, Lord, when we do not trust that. Forgive us when we try to do things ourselves. Forgive us when we worry. And Lord, help us to seek you. Help us to seek you more so that we can develop that confidence, that trust, and strengthen our faith in you. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.